I bring you greetings from Truth BP Church. I thank God for this opportunity that I can come to minister to you in God's Word. Well, to the end of year 2005, never did I believe and dream that a church would be born in less than a month. Normally, a birth would have to wait for 9 months before a baby is born. But for us, it is a labor of prayer for just a month. And thank God for Dr. To, who is our spiritual gynecologist. And the birthplace was prepared to deliver us right in the premises of Calvary Pandan BP Church. And so in January the 1st, 2006, we were delivered. Truth BP Church was born. And I thank God for the hospitality from Calvary Pandan pastors, session members, and all the members of this church. So I thank God for you all who have been so kind and so hospitable unto us. And now this morning, as we look at God's Word, the topic is, all Christians serve Christ. Now, if you want to thank God, how will you express your appreciation and your thanksgiving to Him? Now, we know what to do when we want to thank someone. Either we thank Him personally by saying thank you, or we write a card and give it to Him. Or we buy a present, or we show some form of appreciation. Maybe treating him or her to a dinner to show our love, our appreciation. But what about God? How do we show our appreciation? Do we offer joss sticks? Or do you offer a chicken on the altar? Or do you just put in more money to the offering bag? Do you know that there's one thing that money or things can never replace? To show our expression of thanksgiving to God. What is this one thing? It is our service unto Him. But why do we come to church to Sunday in this worship service for? Is it not because we want to worship God? As you turn to the program sheet, at the top it says order of worship, then morning worship service. Is it not the reason we come to church? Is to come for the worship service. Does it mean anything to you? It is a worship that serves God. It is a service that worships God. Now this is meant for believers. This is meant for Christians. That is why the topic it says, all Christians serve God. So are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, then you are called to serve God. So the moment when you enter to this sanctuary, to this house of God, you begin a time of worship. You begin a time of service. Does it ever occur to you? I may not be involved in any form of service, any form of ministry. So I think I'm not serving God. But I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Maybe I cannot serve the Lord because of some disability. Maybe because of some reason. All Christians serve Christ. So the moment when we enter into this sanctuary for worship service, we enter into a time of service. We thank God for such a privilege to be able to serve Him. So as we present here in the house of God, by our praise, by the reading of Scripture, by the offering of the tithes and offering, by the listening of God's Word, we are rendering our service unto God. Now, serving God is not only confined to the church. Serving God is not just in church ministry. Our service to God goes beyond that. And that's what our passage for this morning will teach us. In fact, our whole life is to be a service unto God. So please keep your Bible open to Colossians chapter 3, 22 to 25. Now Paul says in verse 22, he addressed to the servant. He says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Now, Paul was speaking to the slaves of his time, and he was exhorting them to obey their masters. Most probably, they are not believers. But there's a need for Paul to address this concern, because in those days, the masters will abuse the slave. They will do all kinds of things, not caring for the slave. They treat them like animals. They ask them to do all kinds of things. It's like today. And that is how the domestic maids, helpers, will be received from some masters. They were abused. They were ill-treated. They were not given a proper place to sleep. They were harshly treated. And so what is the response for this slave, and especially to those who have become believers, who have become Christian? And so there's a need for Paul to help them, to give a word of comfort to them. How should they look upon their own situation, facing their own masters? How do they respond? Now, some have run away. Some have taken their own lives. Or there are those who turn violent. There are those who turn around and become the abusers instead. And some have even resorted to murder. And that is reported in the newspaper. In a couple of years, we read of two Indonesian maids who murdered their master. Why? Because they were ill-treated? Because they are unfairly looked upon as human beings. So what is Paul's instruction to this slave? Paul knew that this slave needed much encouragement, especially when they have found a newfound Christian faith. And so Paul wrote, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God," in verse 22. Now this verse, although addressed to slave, to servant, but it applies to all of us. Most of us are under an employer, are under a superior, the boss of the company. And this verse tells us who we are really serving. We are to submit to our employers according to the flesh. That's what Paul says. But Paul was very careful to define what obedience is to render unto. it should be according to the flesh. Paul did not say according to conscience. Paul did not say according to the spiritual commitment that we ought to be given to God. Now, because of our masters, we have the right to compromise. No, Paul did not say that. But what is according to the flesh? Now, according to the flesh is when our workload becomes heavier. Nowadays, we are into multitasking. One man to do many works. We may have to report work earlier. We may have to cut short our lunch hour. Or we may have to leave the company later. Or what are we to do? We just have to obey according to the flesh. But we are not to cross the line that will make us compromise our spiritual commitment. We are not to compromise our good conscience that God has given to us. A good and faithful Christian will say to his secular boss, "I'm yours from Monday to Friday, or some to Saturday. But on Sunday, I belong to God. So I will not work on Sunday." Now, apart from all those who have to fulfill the work of mercy, the work of piety, and other necessity which you need to do on the Lord's Day. So I'm talking about ordinary work, secular work that we are all involved in. Are you ready to compromise? Are you ready to negotiate with your boss when it comes to your spiritual commitment unto God? If our boss expects our time on Sunday, don't resign to it so fast. Let us be quick to bargain for the Sunday that it rightfully belongs to God. Perhaps you have to sacrifice something. Maybe every day you have to work an extra hour. Or do something that you can make sure that your Sunday will be free to worship God. So whatever you can do, things that are legal and biblical. And we are to obey according to the flesh, to our earthly masters. Are you prepared to obey according to the flesh? Now we give all our time to the world. What is one day to us? It is so important, isn't it? And if we're given this one day to the world, what is more to left for God to use? What is left for God to minister to us? What fellowship will we have? What communion will we enjoy? There will be none. Or are you just contented with just 2 hours per week to spend with God? In singleness of heart, we are to fear God. Now God is the one whom we are really serving. We are serving our earthly masters for 6 days, or for some 5 days. Is it so difficult for us to come and worship God on the Lord's Day to give our service to Him? Now, if you observe carefully the passage, Paul is repeating the same point in different ways. It may look as if we are serving men, but we are actually serving God. And so our attitude had to change. Because we are not serving men, we are serving God. And if we are indeed serving God, what should our attitude be in our workplace? It should not be any more doing things shabbily, doing things with a heart half-hearted attitude. Because we are serving God, we give our very best to give unto Him. There is no place to play a fool with God, because we are serving God and not man. So in verse 22, it tells us, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now one day I was having my lunch with my wife in Jurong West Hawker Center. Actually, it's our usual lunch outing. And so when we sat down, we realized that there's something very unique, very different from other days when we have our lunch there. The tables were unusually clean, and the floors were constantly mopped. And so we thought that is excellent service. And so we went forth to buy our food. And the moment we finished our food, there will be people around us ready to clear our soiled dishes. Wow, I thought that is only happen in high-class restaurant because we really pay for their service. But that happens in the hawker center. Excellent service. But later then I realized someone important is coming to the marketplace. And therefore, such high standard of service is expected. Then the next day, when we go back to the same hawker center, everything was back to normal again. Well, you know what normal I meant. Tables not clean. The food is placed there. Don't look wait for how long it will be cleared. Are we man pleasers? But that is what the world will do, to please man. What about us, Christian? Are we man pleasers? So that's the world for you. As Christians, we are not to work with eye service. As man pleasers, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to please God. We are to do the will of God from our heart, in singleness of our heart, fearing God. And verses 23 and 24 tells us, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So that makes a whole world of difference for one who works for mere men and the other who works for God. For one who works for mere men, you receive your reward already. You get your pay, you get your praise for men, and that's it. But if you work for God, that is a place that we will receive the inheritance right from God. Now, if we were to receive something from God, you can be absolutely sure that it is the best. It will not be something that is of a low value. It will be the very best, the priceless one that you can ever find. In fact, it says, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Although we do not know what inheritance it will be, but we can be rest assured that what God will give to us is the best. And so therefore, we can be joyful. We can still have a cheerful spirit. We can still delight in our work and count it a great joy to be the servants of Christ. So never mind if the workload is too heavy. Never mind if I have to stay back late to clear my work, because I'm not a man pleaser. I live to please my God. And so there is good reason to rejoice, because we are serving God and not man. All Christians serve Christ. Are you a Christian? Have you believed in God who loved you, who sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago to live and to die for your sin, and on the third day, rose again from the dead, to give you a life everlasting? With this blessed hope, have you believed in Him? If you believe in Him, you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you are called to serve Christ by your life. And we can serve Christ from the heart. That's what it says here, heartily, joyfully, in singleness of heart. Are we a joyful Christian? Sometimes our work in the world make us so unhappy. Office politics, colleagues are not cooperative. Problems and problems arise every now and then. This is the comfort for us. If we know that we are serving God and we are not serving man, is it not a comfort to know that we are only responsible to God? And if we are responsible to God, God will honor us. God will help us. God will strengthen us. And God will carry us through the problems that we face. But there's one important thing to note, that as we serve God right in the world, there must be a fear of God in us. Perhaps this is our problem today. We did not fear Him as we ought in our service. And so because of this, we allow ourselves to become complacent. We allow ourselves to go out of focus, even to the point of into depression, even to the point of giving up everything and just leave and pack up. Dear friends, is this happening to you? If you are serving God, God has in store for us His power, His strength, waiting to be given unto you. All it takes is to go to Him, acknowledge Him, and trust in Him. What about our Christian service? Maybe some are planning to go for retirement. Maybe with an excuse that the younger blood will take over. Now, it is not wrong to prepare ourselves, especially the older generation, to make way for the new generation to come in. It is not wrong. In fact, it is biblical. And there must be good succession and a path open for a new generation to take over the ministries of God. But as we make way, and as the older generation of believers, ministers, servants of God make way, it does not mean that it is time for them to take a break. It does not mean that it is time for them to retire from Christian service. The gifts that God has given to them are still there. When God closed one door, He will open the other door. So let us not think that there is retirement in Christian service. All Christians serve Christ. Think of ways. Think of other opportunities that you can find to serve God.
So may God help us. There is no retirement in the Lord's ministry. And I quote this from the founder of the BP movement in Singapore, who is also the principal of Far Eastern Bible College. He told us that there is no retirement in Christian serving. We know that it is now dying on the outward man. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. There's still a fire, the fervency, the diligence in him to serve God, because there is so much to do in the Lord's ministry. So much so that he told us that he refused to die because he wanted to serve God. Now such is the spirit of one whose heart is for God and one who loves God so much to serve him. Do you love God? Now we can perform all duties that is required of us. The hymn books arranged, all the offering bags put in place, all the food refreshment prepared downstairs well and in order. And all our Sunday school teachers do their best, play their role to teach our children. But if not from the heart, all this service will be of no use. They will not be accepted in the eyes of God. Dear friends, do you have the spirit to serve God? Or are you thinking of quitting already? The fear of God will help to maintain our service to Him. In fact, with this God-fearing attitude, we will not be thinking of quitting. In fact, we will be keeping ourselves busy, occupied, serving Him, whether in the church or in the world, by our testimony, by our example, we serve the Lord, so that others may see Jesus, so that others may experience the love of God through us. Is that spoken of you? Are you serving God? What does it mean to serve God? By fear. Now, to fear God does not mean that we should be afraid of God, as men sometimes are afraid of lizards or cockroaches, or some have the phobia of height and darkness. These are all irrational fears. There's no need to teach them to have this kind of fear. It comes naturally. But there's a need for us to be taught how to fear God. Because fearing God is not developed naturally. It is developed by giving us the right understanding of who God is. That is why we must read our Bible daily. The more we read, the more we know God. And the more we know God, the more we fear Him. Now, there are three attributes of God I would like to highlight to you this morning that will be able to help us to learn to fear God as we serve Him. Now, we must fear God because He is infinitely holy. Our God is a holy God. Now, usually when we embark on the yearly reading of the Bible, we begin with Genesis. And then after that, we go on to Exodus. But then when we come to the book of Leviticus, and this is where our patience is put to test, we struggle with our reading. We started very well with Genesis, and Exodus. But then when it comes to Leviticus, oh, what a great struggle. Is it because we fail to understand why God gave to the nation of Israel all these minute details of how to approach Him? All the instructions in great details. What to do in the tabernacle, how to prepare themselves, what kind of offering to give. Have you ever wondered why all these details given to the nation of Israel? Not really to teach us that God is holy. Have we missed the point when we read the book of Leviticus? Very often we, because of the determination to complete our Bible in 1 year, as a result of reading Leviticus, we just allow the body to read those words, but our spirit is somewhere else. But we will miss the point if we do that. The book of Leviticus is rich, so much so that it will teach us who we are believing in. The God that we believe in is a holy God. And how we approach Him must not be according to our own understanding. We must approach God according to His standard, according to His way, not ours. God is so holy that even the cherubim that were created to serve Him covered their eyes and their feet as they cry unto Him, "Holy, holy, holy." How can we ever approach God with arrogance? No reverence for Him whatsoever. Should we not be like Isaiah, who trembled before God, saying, "Woe is unto me. I am a man of unclean lips. Have mercy upon me, a sinner." That is how we ought to fear God, because of His holiness. Now, to be holy requires hard work. We cannot do nothing in order to be holy, because doing nothing will not make us holy. So there is a great work to be done in order to be holy in the eyes of God. And the hard work we have to do is to separate ourselves from all uncleanness, from all appearance of sin that is found in our life. Are we keeping our life clean of all kinds of corruption, all kinds of worldly influence? Dear friends, one may pretend to be holy. He may be able to hide from man, having a form of godliness, even by our service, even by performing our duties faithfully. One can pretend to do all this, but you can never hide from God, because God looks at the heart. Dear friend, even if you find that there is 1 liter on the floor, you just pick it up and put into the dustbin. That is a service rendered faithful in the eyes of God. And not one who, like me, if I preach to you God's word, but in the heart I don't believe. In the heart I just read what God has written in His word. In my heart I don't believe. My service to God if not acceptable. And so what is the use? I may be in the limelight, but so what? What is more important is to be accepted by God. As we put on the new man day by day, let us fear God. Let us know that our God is a holy God. He will not tolerate anything. There may be some secret sins that you just cannot give up. Dear friends, our God is holy. It is not impossible for us to give up any kind of sin. Believe in God. Believe that God is holy. Believe that He can look through your heart and my heart. So let us rightly fear God in our service, because it is infinitely holy. Now, secondly, God is to be feared because it is our just God. You look at verses 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25, Apostle Paul says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Now God is a very just God. He have done right from your heart in your service. God will reward you. He will not shortchange you. He will reward you accordingly. But what happens if you do not have the right heart to serve Him? Verse 25. "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person." So our God is a just and fair God. God looks at our heart. If we serve God rightly from our heart, we receive His reward. If not, what will we receive? We will receive for the wrong which we have done. And there is no respect of person. Whether you are a pastor, whether you are an elder or a deacon or an ordinary member, it doesn't matter whether you are a manager, a CEO, or some high flyer in the society. It doesn't matter whether you are a blue-collar worker, or you are out of job. All of us are equal in the eyes of God. If we have done right, God will reward us. But if we have done wrong, God will give to us the wrong which we have done. There is no respect of person. A man robbed an elderly woman of all her money. Then a passerby saw the act and stopped him, and he handed him over to the police. And so the robber, standing before the judge, he is found guilty and he is punished according to the law. And then the passerby was praised and was given a commendation of his act of kindness and of bravery. So likewise, one day we will stand before God in judgment. How will we stand? Will there be praise? Will there be reward? Or will there be shame and guiltiness? God knows everything. While we are living on this earth, let us do our part. Let us serve God by fearing Him. Because it is holy. Because it is just. And now we come to the last point. We must fear God because He is sovereign. God is in control of everything. There is nothing that can slip past his eye. Everything is in his control. And because of that, he has the right to rule over us, because it is our sovereign God. So if God chooses to be gracious and forgiving, that is his sovereignty. And we see that he is sovereign and he is gracious in his sovereignty. A lot of times we sin, but God did not strike us dead right there and then. God gave us opportunities to go to him, to confess, and to repent of our sin. Have we ever done that? Are there any unconfessed sins in your life? Let us not take God's sovereignty for granted. For the time will come when the door of grace will be shut. Accident may come upon us. Sickness, death may come upon us suddenly. Will we be caught unaware with all our unconfessed sin and the failure to repent of our sin? Although we have our salvation intact, God will not allow the evil one to take away our salvation. But it does not mean that we are to live our life loosely in sin. We have our part to play as God's children. Just as our parents would desire all children to be obedient, no parent will teach their children to be naughty, to be mischievous, to do all the wrong things. But the children themselves will learn to do all these wrong things, either by influence or within themselves. Their sinful nature will cause them to sin. But as this grace and waiting of the parent for the children to come to say sorry, to repent of all the wrong that they may have done. So in the same manner, God is waiting for all of us whom he has showered grace and mercy upon. Every sin that we have committed, let us present ourselves before God, confessing them one by one, because it is holy, because it is just, because it is sovereign. And that is our God who loves us, our God who is ever willing to receive us and forgive us. Dear friends, let us fear God in our service. Anyone who has the Lord Jesus as his mediator and advocate need not be afraid to stand before God in judgment anymore, because we have the Lord Jesus helping us to fear him, to fear the God who is holy, who is just, and who is sovereign. Dearly beloved, all of us who proudly bear the name of Christ, let us serve the Lord Christ, who is our sweet Savior, and to serve him with fear. Not irrational fears, but a fear that is out of love, because God is holy, because God is just, and because God is sovereign. We must continue to cultivate our new man and to ensure our love for God will keep burning. I'm sure we have barbecue before, it is not so easy to start a fire. But once the fire is lighted up, we must keep on fanning. The moment you stop fanning, the flame will die down. Dear friends, the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in you is that fire. Are you keeping it burning? Or are you allowing it to die off? The flame, the desire that is still burning in you. Dear friends, let us guard our hearts against having a form of godliness. Not a hypocrite, but to be true before God. Whether in the church or whether outside the church, in the world, let us serve the Lord Christ with great fear and trembling. For belonging to us are all the promises according to the covenant of grace, mediated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has promised that He will help us, for He will never leave us nor forsake us. And He has also promised that all things will work together for good to them that love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. So you say that you are the called ones, why are you not serving Him? By your life, in church, and in the world, will you not render your service to God? Maybe some have not responded to God's call to be a Christian. Receive Him today, and the privilege to serve is yours. What is more wonderful and privileged to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When you start serving Him, don't think of quitting, for there is no retirement in our service. And you can be sure that our service will be a joyful one because we are serving God and not man. So may God help us, every one of us, to believe in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our Savior. And upon believing, start serving Him today by our life. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word that has reminded us once again that we are serving the God who is holy, the God who is just, the God who is sovereign. And we are to serve Him with great fear, coupled with love and great respect, because He is the God who saves us from our sins. And Lord, forgive us of all our sins. Forgive us of all our service that have not been rendered to You with the right heart, with the right attitude. We pray for Thy forgiveness, that many a time we please man rather than we please Thee. Lord, help us today. Help us today that we may serve Thee, not as man pleases, but to please Thee, to fear Thee as we serve. We commit everyone here who has heard Thy word to be doers of Thy word and not just hearers only, to serve Thee while living on this life, till we see the Lord Jesus face to face. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.